Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I'm your host, Raji Love, I sure am. And I am joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Raji Love.
How are you this morning, dear?
Not good. I made coffee without putting coffee grinds in a coffee pot. How about that?
So you made hot water.
That's it.
Well, then now what you do is just pop a tea bag up in that girl and call it a day.
Okay.
Girl, okay. Yes, ma'am. Get it together. Get it together. Waste not, want not, okay?
Oh.
Wow. Girl, all right now, child. We're going to get this day rolling, I guess, in some form of fashion, child. Yes, we will. And I feel like the best way to do that is the way we always do it, and that is by giving out some birthday wishes, all right?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And this week, honey, I'm like, I'm still seeing things that have already been said and talked about, child, but it's like, okay, these people have already been wished happy birthday, child, but it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to just move it right along and just go on down the list, child. So I'm like, yeah, why do they keep showing all of the ones that done had a birthday already? We know they done had a birthday. Y'all just trying to let us know that they're getting older or something? Is that what the reminder is? Because we know.
Exactly.
Bless their hearts anyway. But I'm going to say happy birthday to Miss Shawanda Weber. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Her birthday is coming up Monday, August the 15th, honey. And, girl, she is turning that, oh, no, ma'am, that rightful age out of 52 years old, girl. You do that, honey. Yes, ma'am. That's how you do 52, all right? Yes, ma'am. If you look like that, child, you can post your age and don't give a damn who says what, okay? That's what they say. Exactly what they say. You go, girl, okay? She is sharing her birthday with Mr. Jacob Burgess. Bless his heart. He is turning that little ripe old age of 31 years old. Oh, my goodness. Still a little youngling, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Still such a youngling. Bless his heart. Turning 31 years old, and I'm like, okay, yes, he'll probably be having his drink up this weekend. Bless his name. That's how you do. How you do.
Right, right.
And then they're also sharing that same birthday, Monday, the August the 15th, yes, with Miss Cassandra Sisti Carmack. Bless her heart. She's turning the ripe old age of 34 years old. Oh, y'all are just still in y'all 30s. You know, it's like, all right now. Bless y'all heart.
It makes you feel old? It makes you feel old?
No. Hell no. Don't make me feel old. No, ma'am, child. Now, when you see the people that you actually babysit a child turning 37 years old, then you might start feeling some kind of way. But I ain't at that point yet, child. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. So, and also coming up on Wednesday, August the 17th, one of my favorite people, especially on Facebook, but one of my favorite people, period, Miss Trina, Katrina, that's her name, child, but she has her name on Facebook as Trina's Pen, because she's a writer, yes, she is, and I love it about her, I do, it's one of the many things we have in common. Bless her heart. Now, I ain't going to put her age out there because she didn't put her age out there, so I ain't going to do it to you, girl. But, you know, bless your heart anyway, and I hope you enjoy your day. Your birthday is in the middle of the week, honey, so, yeah, you're going to have an after-five spot to stop at somewhere, I'm guessing. Because I'm like, okay, well, otherwise you're going to have to pick and choose a weekend to celebrate it.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those days, child. It's like, okay, what do you do when your birthday is on Wednesday? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the morning dew birthday was on Tuesday, and we turned up.
On Tuesday?
Did we? We found a seat. Well, were you in New Orleans?
Well, see you in New Orleans, yeah. And then that's why I say, but y'all did an after, you know, after work kind of thing. So it's like, yeah. Yeah, that's why I said she might have to do that, too, on Wednesday. Be like, okay, yeah, because it's like when you're in the middle of the week, you just don't know which weekend you want to really, truly celebrate it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you do it on the weekend before, then you still feel like, well, you know, it's kind of early to be celebrating your birthday because it's like, you know, so many days before. But then when you do it the weekend after, then you'd be like, well, it's so many days after my birthday. It was literally like 3 or 4 days ago, but I'm celebrating it. It's like, yeah, it's just one of those funny days to have a birthday on. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You know, it's like, yeah, you right there in the middle. So, you, yeah, just pick that day, girl, and you have ham on that day. You go ham on it, you do it. That's all I say. And that's my birthday wishes for the week. Happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday, y'all.
All right, now, Miss Kiki, now, who you got to give these shout-outs to today?
All right. Tomorrow, we have Miss Yolanda Wilson. Her birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday, Yolanda.
All right, now.
On August the 15th, we have Mr. Edgar Bauer. His birthday is August 15th. Happy birthday, Edgar.
Mm.
The 15th, you took my next one. Happy birthday, Shawanda.
Oh.
August 15th, I have Miss Marcella Ratcliffe. Happy birthday, Marcella. On August 15th, I also have Christopher Hill. On August 15th, I have Nicole King. And then on August 17th, I have a very special. I'm going to give them away a few seconds for that one. Also on August 17th, I have Miss Yolanda Wilson's husband, Tyrone. Happy birthday, Tyrone.
Oh.
We grew up together, so I'm going to turn 45. Go ahead, see. And also on August 17th, it's a lady that will be turning a lovely 94, like y'all already know.
All right, now.
It's my granny. Happy birthday, Reed.
All right, now. All right. Turn it up.
Turn up, yes.
Turn down for what?
Okay. Okay,
well,
anybody knows her, they already know she wants to have a good time for her birthday. So that's
So the question is to y'all, what y'all going to do about it?
Oh, we're going to figure out something. They're going to figure out something. We always do. With some other happenings in the family, you know. We're going to try to find something to do where everybody can participate and be, you know, enjoy it. So yeah, on August 18th, our cousin, yes, Stephen Abia, Destiny's dad, Kathy's ex-husband, but Stephen's going to always be a cousin. Happy birthday, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Also on August 18th, I have my cousin, Ms. Sandra Konecki. Happy birthday, Sandra. And also on August 18th, my goodness, I got a lot of August 18th. I have this Nikki Gordon. She's turning 26. Happy birthday, Nikki. And that's my birthday wishes for the week.
I'm like, girl, you had a whole book of them, child.
Didn't I? I know, right?
Yes, ma'am. All right, now, all right. Okay, all right. Yeah. Blessed be.
I tried to keep it moving swiftly and professionally, Rob.
I see, child, and it's like, okay, yeah, there's a lot to move through sometimes. There's a whole lot to be moving through sometimes.
You know where you be waiting for the show to, hoping that the birthday wishes carry through a little longer sometimes. Sometimes you be like, when is it gonna ever stop?
Child. But, you know, we got to make everybody feel special. We do. We try to, at least. That's what we do. We try to make everybody feel special, you know. And when we get to the point where we have so many viewers and so many listeners, child, where we can't actually do them all in one, then we just have to do a special show about it. So that means y'all need to share, y'all need to like, and y'all need to actually push y'all friends to do the same. So that way we can actually cut out giving out birthday wishes because they're going to have too many of them to where we'll just have to do a show just saying, you know, happy birthday to everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, once a month show to do to get everybody in.
Exactly, exactly. A once-a-month show to say happy birthday to everybody for that month. But until we get to that point, y'all be all right. Y'all will. I'm sure you will. You know what I'm saying? You will. Now, here, one thing I literally just learned is that we can now actually Facebook our POTUS. Did you know that?
Facebook what?
Our POTUS.
Oh, really?
Of the United States. Yes, ma'am. There is actually...
Oh, yes, yes, I know that. I'm up for it. Yeah.
See. I did not know that. I just learned that today. That you can actually go on Facebook to the White House. I forgot his name already, child, but see, it's the White House correspondent, and they have what they call the bot. You know, the bots do this, child. That is, it's like basically you can post your questions, your critiques, or your approvals, praises, what they would call them, you know. And then the president actually goes through about 10 of them a day to read them. Sometimes he will respond either still by Facebook or, you know, send the fax or a letter in the mail and stuff like that, child, so he's still accessible to people. Whereas I know a lot of other presidents probably would just do their best to avoid that at all costs. You know what I'm saying? At all costs.
You want to say this morning?
Girl, it's a shady day, child, from what I see. The sun is shining. Yes, we need some shade out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
I did not start early in the show and throw shade.
Mm-hmm.
You start early in the show and throw shade.
Well, no, I waited until after we got the birthday wishes out, so, you know. After the birthday wishes, honey, it's all fair game for shade, honey. You better know it. You better know it, but yes, child, it can actually be accessible and reached. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, now it makes you think, what kind of thing would you actually like to say to the president, child? But then again, and you know, and I know they got to filter these things first because, you know, some people are just going to be that ignorant, you know what I'm saying, and just start posting all kind of disrespectful stuff and, you know, all kind of lewd things, you know, that you should just
right.
So I'm sure they're going to have somebody to filter it, which is why it's going through a bot. You know,
right.
So for those of you, this is a question I ask, who has sensible, you know, ways of doing things, what would be some of the kind of things that you might want to actually say to the president if you had that one-on-one moment or whatnot? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? What would you say, girl?
I would ask him, what behind the scenes, full of niggardry, you have to deal with this. We all see it from the outside, but we won't know what you saw on the inside.
Okay, so you might have to change that one up this time to say tomfoolery, because if you say the other one, child,
yes,
you might be botted out, girl. I don't think the bot would actually allow that to go through. The bot going to be like, okay, no, hell no. Mm-mm. Next. But tomfoolery, they might let that one go through. They might let it go through. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he would answer it actually on Facebook. So then I would have to change it a little more and say, what does he suggest? If he has to do it all over again, would he want to run for president again?
Again. Mm-hmm.
Yes, if he has to do it all over again, would he run and do these 8 years again? We saw how they aged that president in the 8 great years.
I think he did. I think he would, mainly because of the fact that, you know what, when he did it the first time, you know what, he's like, well, I'm going to run again and, you know, go for my second term. So, you know, plus he got the first lady behind him, the one who said that she just knew that one day she would be married to the president of the United States. So, boom, there it is.
Right, but I think she would want him to do it again if we would redo the whole thing again. But I think he would probably second guess it. But he did run for a second time, so maybe he would.
Exactly. So I don't think he would actually not do it. I think he would be like, you know what, that's what he was made to do. That's what I think he would actually think. It was something that, you know, it went how it went, so it was just something for him to do. That's what I think. At least that's what I'm thinking, Chad. I don't know how he would be thinking, but that's what I'm seeing in him. Because when he got the second term, Chad, it was like, yeah, it was no question about it. It wasn't no debates. Now, the first time he might have been questioning the whole trip all the way through, am I doing the right thing? Should I have done da-da-da-da-da, whatever the heck, da-da-da-da-da. And, of course, you know, again, I think he made the right decision. I do.
Well, you know, I love my president. So, you know, I would hope he would do it. But, you know, a lot has happened in those 8 years. And I'm just wondering if he has to do it all over again. Even though he did it because he was already there, would he have, you know how you have to, especially since he was a little boy, you know, have that idea of, I want to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know how when you ask those little kids and they always say, I want to be the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When he was young, he would never have that thought, I want to be the president of the United States after dealing with the mother in the White House.
Yeah. When you see that you can actually do all the stuff that you did, be like, oh, hell yeah, I might have done it sooner had I would have known that I was going to cause all of this ruckus. You know what I'm saying? Get all this stuff all stirred up and done. So I'll be like, yes, ma'am, I might have done this in 2000. You know, me and Bill might have been running. There might not have actually been a Bush if I had thought about it 8 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yes, indeed. That's how you got to think sometimes. But, yes, but, hey, it is what it is. That's all I can say. But he did run. Now, one thing I may actually ask him myself, you know, in lieu of everything that he has actually accomplished and, you know, looking back over the span, is there something that he feels that he may not have actually gotten done due to all the red tape and, you know, all of the tomfoolery that, you know, we've seen happen to stop him? Do he think he could have actually done something a little bit different to actually accomplish the things that they were not allowing him to do? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes it is 2020, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
That's what I would like to know. If you think back on some of the stuff that they did actually stop you from doing, and it's like, okay, and you have to keep it pushing and keep it moving, can you think back on one of those times and be like, well, you know what, I think if I had actually done it like this or presented it like that, then it might have actually, you know, been more suitable. Like, to prevent that whole government shutdown from the idiots that actually didn't go to work for 2 weeks, dumbasses. You know, but, yeah, I wouldn't put that part in the question, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know. Because, again, the bot might have actually pushed that part out. Like, well, no, we can't say dumbasses to the president. Sorry, you know, I'm just saying. Well, I'm sure this president wouldn't mind hearing it, especially since it's us that's saying it and not him.
Okay.
So, now, moving...
And he might read between the lines and already answer it for you.
Okay. Yeah, because he knows what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Them. Mm. So, but moving along, now, we're speaking about the First Lady, yes, and supporting her husband, honey. But did you know there were rumors circulating around here? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how much of the rumor is going to actually come to fruition, but, you know, I'm looking into it now as we speak, too. But rumor has it that Michelle Obama, the First Lady of the United States, our FLOTUS, yes, is being vetted. Mm-hmm. Yes, I said it, vetted for pursuing a Senate position in 2018.
She never run. This came out of her mouth.
That's why I said rumor has it, girl. That's why I'm looking into it, child. Rumor has it that's what she's being vetted for now, for 2018, to be pushed.
Yeah, they say people have been trying to back her because they think she will be awesome in the politics.
And I agree. I totally agree.
I totally agree myself. However, President Obama and Michelle Obama, he said one thing. He said a lot of things you can't tell Michelle she can't do. He said, as her husband, I don't even try. But politics, Michelle won't do. And in so many words is, I'm not letting her do it.
Oh, no, no, no. Mm-mm. I don't think that would ever be his words, child, in so many or so little. I don't think he would ever say what she I do. No, ma'am. That don't even seem like a dynamic. That don't even.
I agree with my husband. Politics was done. Barack did the best at politics, and I did the best at being the first lady, and that's what she said.
Mm-hmm. And she did an awesome job at being a first lady. I mean, it's like you got to think about it, though, child. It's like there are so many things that as a first lady, you could literally just sit down and just be like smiling for the cameras. But she was not that kind of first lady. A lot of people were that I've, you know, I can go down.
Yeah, I know. All first ladies have an agenda of something that they have to work on.
They do.
They all have a part that.
But some people.
It just occurs a little extreme because each one of them have something that they have to do dealing with an issue.
Yeah.
Her issue was
childhood obesity. Yeah.
But she took it another step by going out and actually helping the schools find program where a lot of them would, you know, go out, shake some hands, you know, speak to PE teachers. Well, she actually got out there because she lost weight while she was in the White House. She got real fit while she was in the White House because she used it.
And I can't say just while she was in the White House, because when I mean, even before she was in the White House, I mean, she was never out of shape. So she might have gotten more fit because of doing so much more, and this probably was just more noticeable because we can see it.
Okay, but Google the first presidency for Barack Obama. I forgot what it's called. She was on stage with him when he first ran for president. She was nowhere near as fit, nowhere close. She wasn't huge, but she wasn't fit.
No, that's why I said she didn't look like an athlete. To say the least, no. But she was never really out of shape. She was always a nice figured, should I say. She had curves. But she lost some weight, I guess, yes, like you said, you know, doing more, being more active and doing more, you know, during her pursuits and stuff. But, you know, that's why I said it wasn't like she was like this, you know, thick person. She was never that thick. To begin with, she was always tall, slim, but just had curves. But then she like started, you know, defining herself, getting a little bit more Angela Bassett-ish, you know.
Mhm.
I'm like, you go, girl. Well, do it, child. Do it. But just just to say it again, y'all, it is a rumor, and I will just read a passage of the rumor. It says the rumors are rife in D.C. Michelle Obama is being courted to run for the Senate. And the DNC already has terrific bumper stickers printed up with her stirring phrase, "We they go low, we go high." I'm going to say it again in English. When they go low,
please. We
go high. Okay. Did I do it?
All right. Without computer.
Oh, my bad. But yes, but I'm hoping that, you know what, because it's like even though, you know, people always say what they would and won't do and all that other kind of stuff, because, yeah, they get comfortable sometimes. But sometimes, you know what, you got to get taken out of your comfort zone to really be more impactful. Because I'm thinking, you know what, in 8 years, has been by far one of the most impactful president and first lady in that White House. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of things have happened and come out of the fact that they were actually in there just because it was just who they were, you know? And so what more can you say about a person who can literally go back and do something that is that detrimental? Even with, you know, with Hillary and Bill, you know, in their state, you know, when they were doing, you know, in their two terms, state being the first lady and president, you know, I feel like people still like to say that, you know what, Bill didn't do much of anything and da 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 da. But I'm like, you know what, from what I've seen of how this country was running, I feel like the country was on top. You know, it was definitely on top when Bill Clinton was in office. And I can't say that enough because people keep trying to take that away. And Hillary was a first lady. She was one of those first ladies that you didn't hear a lot of stuff about. But, you know, like you said, they all do have their causes. But then it became I think everything that they were trying to do, it became a little bit overshadowed, I would say, by the controversy. It did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit tainted. So it was like that's what it became about a lot for a lot of people. Even though they still did their 8 years, it still became what it was. But out of it, Hillary became senator for New York. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, they still did it, and they still vetted her, and they still basically prepped her to the point to where she is now getting ready to make history by becoming the first woman president of the United States. So you know what? Why not? If Michelle literally sat there and thought about it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying she hasn't, but, you know, the impact that not only, okay, your husband became the first African-American president. Call him what you want. You can call him Muslim. You can call him Hawaiian. Call him whatever. Call him mixed, whatever. But he's still noted as being the first African-American president of the United States. How is it that she would not be vetted or be that next, you know, history maker? You know, she's still a young woman for the most part. You know, she's still in the prime of life at this point. And if she really does take those steps to she's already been in the White House for 8 years, so she's seen a lot and done a lot herself in that 8 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to come back and say, well, you know what, maybe I can still make a difference and actually change history one more time. She may not be the first female president, but she could be the first African-American female president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They were trying to say that Condi would be in that position, but child, Condi took the wrong party by storm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was not going to happen. Even with the general, the colonel, dang it, and I know the man's name, but I just can't say it. Same girl, the one who changed parties when Barack, you know, got into office.
Bernie, no.
Oh, the colonel.
I can't think of his name. Powell.
Powell, thank you. Thank you. Colin Powell, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, yes. They were saying that he would have been a good vet to actually try to spearhead that, but then he was, again, for the wrong party. You have that behind you. It's like you got to make sure you got the right people behind you that actually can help those changes come about. So when you got the wrong party on your side, it's not going to happen because those people, they wanted you to be there to try to keep us looking at them, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Powell, even though he was a Republican and still working under the Bush administration, I still think he was well respected by the African-American community because even though he was on that left side of things, or the right side, whichever, the right wing or the left wing, he was on that side, should I say. We still listen to what he said because he still was one of those people that still spoke up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When stuff was not going right, he said it was not going right. So, and I think that's ultimately why he decided to change parties, even though it was because, yes, Barack Obama was, you know, in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it at a time where it should have done it. He should have been done it, but, you know, but it was still critical for him to do it at that time. Condi was like, well, you know what, I'm going to hold on. And it just didn't come to avail for her. But I believe Michelle Obama, girl, if she really put her mind to it, child, she could really set another historical
dream. I agree.
So I think, child, if she, I think she needs to consider it. She really do need to consider it. I do. I do. So hope.
I think she would put, I think she would make a lot of young kids want to push to do more.
Of course.
Because she is not the type of person that would just sit back and allow. Her and Barack was very boisterous on what their views were.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept a lot of things, like, kind of read between the lines type of thing on things that was,
too controversial.
Yes. But at the same time, they also brought light to a lot of things. And I think they have that craft of doing that to let it be known what they want to say without being blatantly and outright, you know, bashing people.
Right.
Like the Donald, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think she, if she did, I think it would open up a lot of youngsters' minds to invest in running and getting more involved in politics, because a lot of them, politics wasn't something you would hear in the inner city before Barack. It was just like, yeah, you know.
Oh, another white man gonna tell us what to do, basically, is what it was.
It wasn't about, because I don't think people viewed the president as telling you what to do, because people knew that there was other ways of getting stuff. It was way, a person wasn't, it was, we don't live in a dictatorship. So they knew this person was our president, but they were like, okay, he really can't really say what is going to happen for us or whatever, because I think a lot of people didn't care about politics. So it really, it was like, it's not going to affect us anyway. That's how I think a lot of inner city people looked at the whole view of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in reach of Barack becoming president. Now it's, even if it's good or bad that they're talking about in the inner city, even if they're hating him because their money's not right, or they're hating him because of what they were told, they're still talking about it. And it never happened before. So I think if Michelle becomes, if Michelle stays in politics, I think it will also open up conversation in the inner cities on politics, and I think it will be a good thing.
Oh, definitely, definitely. She will definitely bring more younger people to actual, to the forefront of looking at politics as something that can really truly make a difference now, especially, like you said, for the inner city, yes. And that's another thing I wanted to talk about. If I haven't said it before, child, I'm like, okay, these terms, we've talked about terms before, yeah, but the inner city thing, people always refer to urban and inner city, child, and just automatically equate black.
And it's not.
And it's not. By far, it's not. And that's what I was just about to say. It's like people always think about it like, okay, well, when you think of this and you think of that, this is what they're talking about. No. Some people may use it in those instances, but that's just not what it actually is. Because inner city, if you go into any inner city, Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest, you know what I'm saying, inner cities,
mm-hmm.
and New York being one of the biggest inner cities, you're going to see all kind of folks in that inner city. And everything
mm-hmm.
is affected by what's actually being done and said in the inner city. So stop equating inner city with black people, because that's just not the case. Everybody's in the inner city. Everybody's on the outskirts, too, if you can afford to be. You know what I'm saying? The suburbs, yes. Black people live
mm-hmm.
in suburbs, too. Don't act, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they be trying to act, girl, like we just don't be, like we just in one spot in the city and everything else goes around it. No, that's not the way it is. So stop thinking that way. Get that thought out of y'all minds, people. Change your way of thinking sometimes and start seeing something beyond what's in front of your face. You know what I'm saying? Use your peripherals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why God gave you peripheral vision, so you can see some of the stuff that's going on around you. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
Ooh, thank you. I just had to get that out real quick. I did. All right, now, girl. Now, I'm like, I'm looking at this story, child, that a person was going to their office, and they was like, you know what? When I bring my coffee cream up into this place, child, everybody wants to keep dipping and dabbing and stuff and all that other kind of stuff. Now, I'm gonna take this to two angles, child, because, you know, I always say, you know, there's always two sides to stuff. But this woman was bringing her coffee mate. Mm-hmm. And we all know how people can be about their coffee mate, honey. Yes, it's like cracking a bottle. But she was so sick and tired of people in her office, girl, actually going and taking her coffee creamer, child. So she decided, okay, I'm about to get back at these bitches. I don't know who doing it, but we're going to find out soon. Yes, we will. So she put a post-it note on the coffee creamer after leaving it up in their child and was basically, I guess, depleted. So she was like, good morning to whomever has been enjoying my coffee creamer all week. Surprise! Ooh. So I was trying to see if I could just switch and just see exactly what it was she was doing, but they actually put the whole story on here, and I'm like, okay, she basically put some nasty stuff up in there, tied to the way they was drinking it. My guess is that they was like, oh, what the hell did it boil or something? Ew!
I'm a victim of stealing people's coffee cream at the job.
See?
Because my thing is, if you don't want to share, don't bring it. Keep it at the house.
Preach.
Or put it in a little cup with your name on it and don't let it be a coffee creamer.
Sitting
there for other people to use. It's a condiment.
Okay, baby.
That's just like you bringing some ketchup in a big old bottle.
And if you don't want nobody else to use it.
Right. Come on. When it comes to coffee, and condiments with the coffee, everybody use the common area of the kitchen area in the break room. So if you don't want people to use it, either bring your little ice chest, like one of my coworkers I used to work with, she used to bring a little foam ice chest, and that's where her coffee creamer went.
Mm.
She'll bring it every day, and she will put it by her desk. She'll make her coffee, but she drank coffee 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she would do. And then after work, she would take it home with her and come back and redo the same thing the next day. It wasn't out in the open for everybody.
Basically.
She didn't want nobody to touch her stuff. Now, she might offer when you see her making her coffee, and I'd be like, oh, girl, that's a good coffee creamer. Oh, you want some? Sure.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't just advertised. But when you just sit in the refrigerator, you advertise. You telling people, use this.
That's my whole thought, you know, too. Now, by the way, it turns out that the stuff that she had in the coffee creamer was actually her breast milk.
Wow.
So she basically said, hope you enjoyed. But no worries, it's organic, basically.
Wow.
So they've been enjoying her breast milk in her coffee, in their coffee. Child, I wonder what it tastes like. Well, you know, I've seen an episode of Tia and Tamara, child, where they actually tasted each other's breast milk because they were lactating, you know, for pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it's kind of sweet. So it might have actually been kind of good in the coffee. Who knows? But
right,
that was the second thing that I wanted to actually say about it, because I'm one of those people to where, like I said, I feel like if you are in a place where you're in a shared environment, like a kitchen or like somewhere at work, you know, in a break room, I'm like, if you're bringing stuff in there, to me, then basically they should be able to use it. I mean, unless it's something just specific and you have it wrapped up and your name is on it and all that kind of stuff, like your lunch for that day or something, that's something different. But
yeah, like somebody actually, not to cut you off, Roger Love, but my cousin actually brought her lunch. And she had put it in the refrigerator. And she had bought it at a restaurant the night before. And they had a lot of appetizers. So she didn't touch any of her appetizers. So she just had her food. But she had never got a chance to eat her food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, when she put it in there for lunch and went back for lunch to go get it, well, she took a late lunch. she took a 1:30 lunch
instead of the 12 o'clock like everybody else. Well, when she went in there at 1:30, opened up the refrigerator, lo and behold, her lunch was gone. Now, that is a different scenario.
Exactly. That's some thievery. That right there, straight up.
She had her mind all set for her food that she had never touched, never tasted, and somebody just took it.
That's when you walk back up in that office and ask, who the hell left the gate open? Yeah, let them see how crazy you are, child. They're going to be like, oh, we ain't going to be touching nothing of hers no more, no ma'am. But that's the thing, though. If you bring in something that's a condiment, like a bottle of ketchup or mayonnaise, okay. See, what I do is, like I was telling you the other day, I have two bottles of lemon juice because I'm a tea drinker, and I like to get the unsweet, well, at this time I like to get the unsweet tea because, you know, my new situation or whatnot, but when I did get tea beforehand, I'm like, I like to have either a lemon flavor or some kind of fruit flavor in my tea, not just plain tea. So,
right.
You know, when I started at this place, I'm like, okay, so when I started and go and get me something to drink or whatnot, I'm like, I'm getting a tea, but I don't have nothing to put in it because it's like some places don't actually have lemon packets or lemon wedges sometimes, which I came to find out at the restaurants. So I actually bought some and put, you know, brought it to work, and I have, you know, I always had it here at my house because I'm like, when I get the jugs and gallons, I always, you know, mix it up here. So I drink it like that. So then I'm like, well, I might as well buy a separate bottle and basically have one here at work because I'm like, I'm always drinking tea here anyway. So I'm like, and I brought it in there, and I'm like, if anybody wants to use it, it's in there because that's, you know, it's a shared space. So I'm not going to label something and be like, don't touch. You know, no, that's just not cute. You share in a refrigerator, but it's like at the same time you putting stuff up in there that more people would actually use. It's like that's just, it's just self.
So let's say you bring a piece of pie
now,
and you put it in the refrigerator.
Now, see, it depends. If it's a whole pie, then I'm going to actually let people know that it's in there and that, you know, that I'm bringing this pie to work. If y'all like a piece, then, you know, by all means, because that's the kind of person that I am. I bought donuts to work before because I'm like, I don't want to have all of these things in here because my cousin had actually bought them, and she ate a lot of them. But she was like, she was getting ready to leave, so I said, well, I'll take these to work and let them have them because I can't eat them like so, you know. So, but I'm like, but a pie, I'm like, when
but
I...
But you offer, okay, but what if you didn't offer? Say you bought a pie, a full pie, you put it in there, but you had it for something besides work, and you didn't offer. Like you said, you would come in and you'll say, you know, anybody wants some or whatever, it's in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bought it, and the pie is in there, it's a full pie, but you have somewhere to go after work. Say you go into a party, and they ask you to pick up a pie.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked it up and you brought it to work and you put it in the refrigerator. And someone ate it. Do you think that's wrong or do it look like it's a community thing, like a condiment? Your condiment to me is different.
Well, no, because that's why I said I would have it set up differently. Like if there's something specific that I want to have and do whatever with, I'm going to keep it in a bag, tied up, to where it's like you might not even know what it is unless you could just recognize the shape of it and just assume what it is. But if it's tied up, it's not even cut, basically. You know that that was not brought up in there for you. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
And even if you thought, well, maybe they brought it up in there for us to enjoy, you would. If you have any kind of decent courtesy, you would have actually asked about it first. Because 9 out of 10, if you bring in something into an office setting for everybody to enjoy, you would let them know that that's why it's there. You know? So if nobody said anything about this pie being in here and it's in a bag tied up and put away, then you know that that pie was not meant for you to just go up in there and just start going ham on it. So you're dirty for that, whoever
you
did it.
Go through everybody's bag.
Exactly. You're going through somebody else's stuff to get to it. So that's just thievery. That's all that is. It's just thievery, and they need to be slapped. So, yeah, I would probably call them out, too, if I knew who it was. Yes.
Yeah, the condiment is different.
Yes,
the
condiment is totally different.
The Yeah, because I used to bring Splenda to work because they used to have the pink and the blue pack
mm-hmm.
and the sugar.